It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Hello, welcome to the program. I'm in a great mood, looking forward to talking with you today, or talking and have you listen. Here's the thing. You know what? Maybe I will tell you about some razor blades to buy. Get one of these new 37-blade razors. Seems like every time they turn around, they're coming out with another blade. First one lifts, and the second one cuts, and the rest of them, I don't know, a little cleanup work. Anyway, that's not why you're listening to the show. You're listening, hopefully, because you are enjoying the real, blunt, real-world commentary that we have about what's going on in the world of finance. And to help me do that on the first segment or two of the show.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
There he is. What will I say? Except let's get to all of that deep and heavy stuff in the world of economics and finance and the markets.
There is actually some interesting things to talk about from Thursday.
You're not going to tell me nothing happened.
Well, it was a pretty boring day return-wise. The Dow was up 7 points, S&P up 2 points, NASDAQ up 11 points, oil just inside of $100 a barrel still, and gold flat at 1731. So not a whole lot happened as far as market return goes, but that in and of itself is interesting, I think, because Greece announced an agreement to cut costs, and they made an austerity agreement that they can present to the 17 EU finance ministers and the Troika for approval to get their bailout. So it's interesting, I think, that the market didn't react to that. I think the market is over Greece.
I think they are. But you know what? I want to make one comment. I'm beating this up a little bit, but bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. I love these small moves of the market. You know, let's take – I got my HP 12C. You know, I'm old school, okay?
Yeah.
So let's take 7 points rise on the Dow.
Yeah.
How many trading days are there? About 250?
Yeah.
Roughly?
Yeah.
Okay, so 250 times 7 is 1,750 points on the Dow.
That's plenty.
Divided by what are we at, about 12.8?
About 12, almost 12, yeah, 12.8. Call it
12.8. That would be a 13.7% return.
Terrific.
So I love that.
Yeah,
that's what I want to see.
Speaking of 13, we're sneaking back up to 13,000 on the Dow, level we haven't seen since 2008. So that's pretty exciting news.
Must have been really early in 08. Middle of 08, somewhere in there?
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah,
there.
Things really bottomed out by March 6th of 09. That
right.
was the very bottom.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's interesting that we're back up to that level. And like you said, we've kind of snuck up on it with the exception of October of last year, which was a
Well, the reason we snuck up on it is because we didn't have a 500-point jump in one day.
We haven't had we haven't had many triple-digit jumps this year.
Have we had one yet?
Maybe
one or two? Okay.
But it's been really quiet and just sort of nice and comfortable. Overseas, in addition to Greece, the ECB, European Central Bank, decided to keep interest rates on hold at 1%. I know you want to talk about the UK. They have their interest rates at 0.5% and have decided to engage in some quantitative easing.
What are we going to call that? EQ?
EQE or
something like that. This is their first one, right? Didn't they just
No, this is their second one.
They're getting ready to do their second one. Okay,
yeah.
So we're ahead of them still. This brings us even.
Yeah, but they just did their first one 6 months ago, something like that. So,
okay.
But they're worried about a recession because their economy actually shrank in the fourth quarter of last year.
And
so.
That's an important thing to clarify because, you know, a lot of times we hear the word recession, you think, okay, well, what is exactly does that mean? And two quarters of receding output, it's the GDP is actually shrinking. It's not just slowing, right?
Yeah, it's shrinking.
So it's actually a contraction.
That's right.
I wonder why we don't call them contractions instead of recessions.
I don't know. Well, economists love big words that don't necessarily mean anything.
Okay.
So that's interesting news. They obviously are concerned, and they're also trying to insulate themselves from whatever else is going on in the Eurozone. But they have to be very, very careful because their inflation rate is about 5%.
Is it really that high? I thought they had more room to maneuver than that.
They don't. So they definitely have to be careful. Corporate news, PepsiCo shares fell on Thursday. Decent profit number, but they lowered their forecast number, said they're going to cut 8,700 jobs. This should surprise nobody. Groupon actually lost money last quarter, so they were off quite a bit. Apple is just inside of $500 a share. They're going to launch the iPad 3 in March. It has retina scannability, and it's going to have that talky-texty technology, you know?
Well, that's cool.
Yep. And a really interesting story from Diamond Foods, the nut maker. They have a heck of a mess over there. They just put the CEO and the CFO on leave. The stock is down 30% on the day today. It was a $90 stock in the fall of last year. It's about a $20 stock now.
What happened?
They have to restate all their earnings from 2010 to 2011 because they shifted the payment time periods to walnut growers.
Nice. So they're playing games with their numbers.
Yeah, it's a mess.
All right, well, Lisa's flashing us a five-second warning, which means by the time I tell everybody that, the 5 seconds is up. So we're going to go take a quick timeout. We'll be right back to continue the commentary on where we are and what's going on in the world. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
That's right. We're going to break it down. A couple quick other thoughts, Scott, and then we'll get to a couple other items I know we want to get to. Get to things we want to get to. That sounds smart. How about first one final comment on Greece? The thing that doesn't make sense to me, and maybe it's just because of the ramifications, which I don't quite get how severe or that they can be severe enough to warrant this. Basically, they're looking to be able to do a 130 billion euro bailout.
I think that's the total bailout, yeah.
Yeah, about $170 billion.
Right.
Now, Greece already owes 330 billion euros. So
yes.
Here's the way I see this, and I'm, again, just kind of basic. The people lending them money, whoever it is, governments, individual investors, they're basically saying, hey, we need to give you another 130 billion so that we can actually get back that 330 plus the 130 also.
Well, no.
I mean, is that what it really boils down to?
They're not going to get the 330. That's the so-called haircut and why they're talking about, I mean, do the math.
So that 70%. Might only be, well, 30%
of 330.
So it's like $100 billion would be left. They're going to shave off $230 billion.
Yeah, if their debt just in the form of a haircut. That's what they're trying to do.
So it almost sounds like they're going to basically say, oh, we're going to give you another 130 billion euro with the hopes of getting another 130 plus the 130 back. So it's kind of like they're double down.
Yeah, they have really, really significant problems. They are never going to be able to pay $330 billion. And any payment that they do make is not going to be from their own money because they're digging a deeper hole every single day. They dig a deeper hole.
I tell you what, if we couldn't have a more clear picture of where we're headed if we don't get our austerity plans in place. Now, despite that, the dollar strengthening. Now, what's going on there? You saw
Well,
that?
We've been strengthening for a little while. The last 2 months have been a little bit rockier.
Exactly. It started to give back a little bit, but now it's getting stronger.
Euro actually hit a two-month high on Thursday's market, but relatively speaking, the dollar is still quite a bit stronger than it was a year ago, significantly stronger.
So if it continues to go up, we could see oil prices start to come back down a little bit?
We could. Oil of just course. Inside $100 a barrel today, as long as Iran doesn't get bombed. And
well, yeah, and that's another thing. If we have time, we'll get to. But all right, stocks, they're up. We just talked about that. We talked about the Dow sneaking back toward 13,000. They're up. Are they still cheap?
Well, the common measurement tool to determine whether or not stocks are cheap is the P.E. ratio.
Price of the shares divided by the earnings.
That's right. So the P.E. ratio, but investors have to remember that there are two components to that. So if we say the P.E. ratio right now is low, well, it's about 13 right now. Average is about 18, so you would think, well, the price has to go up to get that ratio back to 18. The other side of that coin is that if earnings go down, that can also get that P.E. ratio.
So if earnings fall, which there has been some rumblings about earnings maybe falling a little bit, then that'll put the P.E. ratio right back where it belongs, so to speak, or put it back in line. In other words, the price won't seem cheap if the earnings aren't so good.
That's exactly right. Yep. And there are other metrics of revenue and book value and things like that. Personally, my personal view is that stocks are a little bit cheap right now. I think we paid a pretty high price over the last 10 years. Really, stocks have been flat for the last 10 years. There definitely is pent-up growth within that 10 years. So.
And everybody knows and talks about there's a lot of cash still on the sidelines.
A lot.
And the it's not earning anything. And even short-term CDs and even I have a report. I didn't bring it. I didn't plan on talking about it, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. Even Warren Buffett recently was in the news talking about the dangers of loading up on bonds right now with it being a low interest rate environment.
Bonds and gold.
Exactly.
He said stocks specifically are relatively cheaper than bonds and gold.
Can I applaud him for talking about something that is in his area of expertise, investments, and not about politics?
That's good. He definitely
you,
knows
Mr. Buffett.
Stock valuations.
Thank you, Mr. Buffett. Yeah. Thank you for talking about bonds and not about politics and taxes. Thank you.
Yeah. Overall, I think stocks probably are cheap. That doesn't always mean that they're going to go up.
All right. Well, speaking of things that could go up, we just talked about oil. I've had this in my stack of stuff to talk about all week. What happens if Israel can't wait and says, I'm not waiting on you guys? We've got to do something about Iran's nuclear threat. And they drop bombs all over Iran. What's our market? Our market's going to pull back a little bit if it happens.
Yeah, it'll really impact the oil market. I would expect oil to spike significantly.
Jump $20 a barrel or so?
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
Okay.
Anytime that there's conflict, the market doesn't like that. The bigger problem, though, is Iran having nuclear capability. That's a bigger problem.
So it's really a question of the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
But what we're not talking about, though, is if there is that kind of situation and our dependence on foreign oil, especially in the Middle East, the Strait of Hormuz and all of that, that doesn't mean that if our oil jumps to 120, 130, 150, that that's going to kill our economy or that it will certainly not be good, but it won't kill us. And we things are expected then hopefully to fall back in line.
Yeah. And if Saudi Arabia wants to cooperate, they can bring the price back down.
Easy enough. Okay, Scott, I'm gonna let you get back to those portfolios. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back. And I am going to tell you about some other very interesting things happening in the world and to give you my take on it.
What if the process of creating your financial plan was easy, hassle-free, and straightforward? What if it was conducted by a friendly professional and there was nothing expected of you in return? It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's the way David Holland has been doing business at his firm, Holland Financial, for over 15 years. Since day one, it has been David's mission to provide individuals with practical solutions for their retirement needs. Financial planning doesn't have to be complicated or stressful. To learn more about our services, visit us at hollandfinancial.com or call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 888-747-7526.
All right, we're back. And as promised, I want to share with you some other things I've seen in the news and other things I'm looking out and looking for that we can talk about. I kind of feel like it's become my responsibility to call out some of this absurdity about tax laws and people talking about taxation of the wealthy and the 1%, 99%. I don't know. It's just struck a nerve with me because I think all of it's really silly. And I think it's a lot about getting votes and it's a lot of nonsense. So there's a recent one that came out that I want to talk about. So it falls in the category of
That's a load of bull.
Yes, it is. It's a load of bull. And the latest load of bull is from another billionaire who wants to talk about how much tax everybody else should pay. Nick Hanauer was on the Daily Ticker, okay? And I on Yahoo all the time, and so he's on the Daily Ticker. Anyway, they interviewed him, and he said, these millionaires are just getting off cheap. It's time for them to pay their fair share of taxes. Every time you hear the word fair share, that is a very qualitative term. It's a very relative term. Fair is according to whom? You know, if you ask a couple of five-year-olds what fair is, and you've got the ice cream scoop in your hand, and you're dishing the ice cream into the bowl, a five-year-old knows that one scoop for one person and one scoop for the other is fair, unless there's a reason otherwise. So everybody's got this fair thing all twisted up. Anyway, this guy, Nick Hanauer, sold his company. He had an internet media company, sold it to Microsoft for $6.5 billion. So he's loaded. And so here's, I love this. Listen to this quote. People in the top 1% are paying historically low rates. That's simply unsustainable if you want to run a capitalistic society. Okay, well, so you want to make it socialist to make it more capitalist? Which is it? So anyway, here's the thing that I'm going to bust them on and why I think it's a load of bull, and this, again, falling into my sworn duty here that I'm accepting to call out people when they get their facts wrong, and it's a load of bull. The majority of Americans pay a tax rate between 30 and 35% is what he's quoted as saying. Okay, well, that is not correct, Mr. Hanauer. I did my math, and I went back to my money chimp, and here's what I've got. If you want to pay 30, if for an American, the majority of Americans do not pay between 30 and 35%. To pay 30% in income tax, you have to make $700,000. You hear me? You hear that? Isn't that crazy? And guess how many people make over $700,000 a year? It's less than 1% of the population. It's less than 1% of the tax returns filed. So it's about 1 million tax returns out of 140 some million that are filed every year. So the average median income, or let me do it this way. To pay, if we look at the majority of Americans, let's say you say a majority is 2/3. Okay, let's just use that. So a majority of Americans would be 2/3 of the population. It's actually 51%, but let's go with 2/3, a super majority. Then a majority of Americans pay 7% income tax or less. So it's awfully convenient to twist the numbers around and to have these things quoted because it hits the news and it's all about this propaganda that people that make money need to pay more in tax, especially the ones that make more. Now, here's the silliest thing of all, ladies and gentlemen, and this is where it really is a load of bull. A billionaire telling a millionaire what to do about their taxes or what they should be paying in taxes is like a millionaire telling somebody with $1,000 to their name what to do with their taxes. Because a billion is 1,000 times a million, and a million is 1,000 times 1,000. So to show you how absurd this is, that's like a billionaire telling that millionaire what to do and the millionaire telling a thousandaire what to do. Now, here's my simple solution. And you tell me, you can't tell me because you're not going to answer me here, but you think about this. Wouldn't it be simpler if we simply eliminate all the deductions, all the exemptions, and whatever it is you get, you pay 10 or 15% on? Wouldn't that make it easier? Wouldn't that make it really fair? Because without something as simple as a scoop of ice cream for each person, or everybody putting in their 10 cents or their 15 cents out of every dollar, without that, isn't it always going to be something where whoever has the best lobbyist, whoever games the system the best, that they're going to always be looking for their angle on how they can not pay as much and get the other guy to pay more? It's always somebody saying how other people should be taxed. Well, that's what makes it a load of bull. And there you have it. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. 9 cents. That's it. 9 cents is all it takes to feed a person if you donate wisely. Have you ever been approached on the street or the side of the road by somebody asking for a couple of bucks and thought, where's my money going? Well, when you choose to donate to Halifax Urban Ministries, that same $2 can buy 20 meals and will be used to win the fight against homelessness. I am a proud supporter and I want to encourage you to put your money towards something real. Visit HalifaxUrbanMinistries.org to find out how you can help or call 386-252-0156. 386-252-0156.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 on WESH Channel 2, starting February 20th.
Yeah, set your DVR for that. It's going to be a great program. I hope you enjoy it. I have enjoyed it, but it's been a lot of work. I think we've got 13 shows recorded, and we've got another 5 to get done. And once we do that, that'll be 18 shows for the first season. And if you like it, and I can tell people like it, I get that feedback, then we'll do another season. If you don't, then I will put my tail between my legs and go away. At least on TV, you'll still have me here on the radio because, well, I've got a studio right here in the office. All right, next up, I want to talk about some top secret stuff.
The following top secret message is ready for declassification.
Yes, it is. And this one's really easy and very straightforward. And it's really the secret or the thing I want to share with you is if you're getting investment advice, you can protect yourself by making sure that the advisor knows what you want for your investments. And I know that seems kind of basic, but here's how a lot of times it works. A broker or an advisor will say, well, tell me about what you're trying to accomplish. What do you want? And I've got a form I want you to complete. And I need to check some boxes. And sometimes that's a very basic process. Sometimes it's more involved. But what they're trying to do is figure out, mostly for compliance and to cover themselves when the regulators come in, they want to check a box that says that you want to take risk. So here's my message. And this is the revelation, if you will. You've got to be really honest, really, really candid, and don't be swayed to check any box that's really higher than what you're comfortable with. In other words, if they say, well, it sounds like you're really aggressive, you want to take a lot of risk or you want a lot of growth, that's going to cause you to need to check a box that's higher risk, which means you have a higher potential for loss. It's kind of a cover me strategy because anytime you're investing in the market, and we talked earlier in the show about even with bonds, Mr. Buffett coming out talking about that. I've been talking about that for quite a while. We have the potential of interest rate increases. And then when that happens, bonds go down in value. This is not some theoretical textbook thing. It is in a lot of textbooks on investments, but it's real. I've seen people's statements that when the market, the interest rates start to go up, the bonds do go down in value. And the longer the bond, the more severe the impact. If you've got a 20-year bond that you buy today because you're like, I'm going to get a good interest rate, that's the only way you can get a better raise going really long, and you've done that, and then interest rates jump up a 1%, you could see a 20% loss on the value of that bond. Isn't that remarkable? But back to the risk tolerance, you got to really be clear about what you're looking for, and these forms that they ask you to complete, they're very important. Make sure that you complete them and that you are honest about what it is you're looking for, because it is a very important part of the process. And I know it sounds like, oh, well, you know, that's what the broker does. That's what the advisor does. That's their job, David. Well, yeah, they've got to fill it out and they've got to follow the process, but you really want to make sure that you take your time and you understand everything. I shouldn't have to say it, but I'll say it. Don't ever sign any forms that are blank. You know, you make sure that when you look at those forms, they're completed. You make sure that everything is filled out, and then you sign. Anytime you enter into any agreement with a financial person to manage your money, or you're hiring somebody to do that, you know, would you sign a contract to sell your house without filling in the information? Of course not. So think of all the other examples of where you wouldn't do that. Take your time. There's no rush. The deal's not going to get away from you, you know? So keep that in mind as you talk to people about what to do with your investments and how you do it. The most important thing is to be honest. I've seen people really, really trip themselves up. And men and women, couples, please try to be involved with this together. I won't work with a client and have a new client come on and be serviced and advised by my firm unless both are involved in the process. Yeah, you can get away with one of them coming in to meet with me the first time. But for any of those subsequent meetings, we insist on both of the couple being there. And the reason for that is they both need to be involved because at some point it might not be both. And I can tell you stories, and I'll share this maybe on another program, of couples that have not done that. And when one of them, something happens, either there's dementia, there's a health issue, there's obviously one of them can die. When that happens, the person's on their own. And they don't have the history. They don't have the know what's going on with the accounts. And some bad things can happen. So be involved in that process with your spouse or your significant other. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to give you your warning for the day, and this will be very interesting. Stick around.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
This is your 2-minute warning.
Yep, it's time for your 2-minute warning, which may go a little longer than 2 minutes, but that's okay. It's my show, and I can do that. Here's your 2-minute warning. This is a little bit, I've been wanting to share this with you for quite a while, and I sat down before I did the show and kind of mapped out my thoughts. Here's a very different topic today: leaving your broker. One of the things that people very often recognize that as they move toward or closer to retirement, they realize that they want a specialist, somebody that focuses more on retirement income planning or more on conservative investments, which may or may not be available from their broker. When they make that decision to change advisors, to change from a broker to an investment advisor or to somebody that focuses maybe on more conservative investments or financial products or annuities or whatever the case may be, when they make that transition, people, it's natural to have some trepidation, some concern about that transition, and also be a little bit afraid maybe of that transition in and of itself. But heap on top of that, the fact that transition, there's that relationship you're dealing with. Now, for some people, they have no problem, but some people get a little bit anxious over that. So what I want to share with you is that, first of all, if you find a need to change advisors, and again, this is something that's very common, that people change advisors, especially when they make a transition to retirement. They want somebody that focuses a bit more on the retirement aspects as opposed to accumulating money. A lot of financial people, brokers, and other folks may focus heavily on accumulation, you know, growth investments and things like that during your working years. But when you get toward and closer to retirement, it's time to look at more conservative and income planning options. So when you make that decision, there's a couple things to think about. First of all, it happens every day. If anybody ever says, oh, this has never happened, it happens every day. Pretty much all the big firms have a department that handles money going out the door. And if you have concerns about this, you're like, well, I don't want to hurt so-and-so's feelings or whatever it is. You know what? Your finances, your retirement, the security for you and your family are much more important than anybody's feelings. I know that sounds a little callous, but that's just the truth. You need to make sure that you do what's best for you. And if you make the choice to move, you don't have to even ever talk to them again if you don't want to. The person that's going to handle your money, the new, quote-unquote, new advisor, can take care of all the paperwork of moving everything over. You've got to realize that not every advisor is created equal. In fact, I wrote about that in my second book, How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. The great advice part is I'm telling you how advisors work, how advisors are built, the different elements of what advisors are about, because no two advisors are created exactly the same. They have different education, different experience, different areas of expertise, different licensing. They have different control over what they do day to day. Some work for an insurance company, and they do what that insurance company says. Some work for a broker-dealer or a stock brokerage firm, and they have to do what they tell them to do, because that's the way the rules work. And then some are independent, have more latitude, perhaps, than somebody who is under, you know, the control of that employing company. So you need to keep these things in mind, and there are a lot of different choices in terms of advisors out there. And one of the things that really stands as always, I'll probably always remember this as part of my looking back on my financial career when I retire someday, is some of the stories and things that I've seen along the way that really kind of strike me as either funny or unbelievable. And one of the things I'll always probably remember is, and it's a good example for you on how sometimes when you decide you want to do something different, you know, let's say somebody recommends something that's more appropriate for you and you say, okay, I'm going to do that. And you talk to your current advisor or broker about it, and they say, oh, we can do that. Well, why didn't you tell me before? Well, I didn't know you wanted it. Well, that's your job, is to be on the lookout for what I need. Or, oh, what? Okay, fill in the blank. Oh, he told you to do that? Oh, that's crazy. Never do that. Well, here's my story real quick. One time I made a recommendation to a person that came in and asked for my advice, and the broker got wind of it, and he told the client, oh, you should never do that. That's dirt. That's trash. Don't do that. And I got the person to understand, you know, where the broker was off and where I was right, and I thought he was wrong. Anyway, so that all worked out. But then fast forward like a couple months later, this is funny, I ran into another situation where I was competing with this other broker, and guess what? He recommended to this other person what I'd recommended for the first one. Ain't that funny? So, you know, it's a competition, and that's just the way it is. But you've got to do what's best and what's right for you, and don't be afraid of the transition. Just make sure you know who you're dealing with. Make sure you know the right questions to ask that broker. Make sure you vet them and you make sure that they're the right person for you before you make any changes. Okay. Thanks for being with me on the show, and I'll look forward to talking with you another day. Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.